Father, we have one simple request this morning, and that is that you would send your presence to be here in this house. I thank you for answering that prayer. In your powerful name, amen. Thank you, Annalise, for reading our text this morning. I want you to take your Bibles out. We're going to turn and look at that again. Psalm 91. Psalm 91, this is probably one of David's most famous and well-known psalms. And as you look at the verbiage here and you look at the words that he used, you can sense that there is something deep, something significant in this passage. And I want to invite you to think about digging into Scripture with me this morning as we try to unpack what this passage means. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want you to read that with me together, if you would. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Have you ever thought what that secret place is? Is this text just for special people that were perhaps in Scripture, like David or Abraham or Solomon or the disciples? Or does this secret place that David is talking about have meaning for you and for me? Did you ever have a secret place growing up? Anybody have a secret place where you used to play or you used to hide? The house that my brother and I and my family moved into just before we moved here in Fallbrook was a big old two-story house that was parked right on the Wisconsin River. And as we were moving into that house, my brother and I were moving up into our room, and Jamie and I had bunk beds, and Jamie was never allowed to sleep on the top bunk because he'd always roll out and fall down on the ground, and Mom and Dad didn't think that was a good idea. But anyways, we're moving in and got the bunk bed set up, and we're putting our books and our other things away, and in our room, we had a built-in bookcase. And as Jamie and I were starting to put in our books and put our model cars that we had built and model airplanes that I had carefully put together and painted and wanted to show, I noticed that right underneath one of the shelves, there was a little latch that was inset. And my 8-year-old mind said, "What is this?" And I pulled that latch, and I could hear it click back and forth, and I thought, well, this has got to go somewhere. And so I pulled the latch in, and I kind of leaned into that bookcase, and I pushed, and the door gave way. And it swung open inside, and back behind that bookcase, was a complete room. I could walk in there. There was a light hanging. We could turn the light on. There was even kind of a little built-in cabinet workspace area. Can you imagine how exciting this is to an 8-year-old boy and his 4-year-old brother? This is in our room? How cool is this? It was our secret place. It was a place where we would only take special people. We tried to keep Mom out of there if we could every once in a while. But it was a secret place where intimate secrets could be shared or only certain people would be allowed to go. What is this secret place of the Most High? Turn with me to Psalm 31. We're going to try and unpack this a little bit more. Psalm 31. Remember what we're looking for now, the secret place of the Most High. Are we allowed there? And what can we expect if we go to that very special place? Psalm chapter 31, we're going to look at the first part of verse 20. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. So what I think David is saying to us here is the secret place of the Most High is not limited to any patch of special soil on this planet. You don't have to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. You don't have to go to Rome. You don't have to go to Jerusalem or some other special religious shrine to find the secret place of the Most High. What David tells us here is that the secret place of the Most High is a nearness and a closeness to God. It's that place where a close fellowship happens in which the soul enters and recognizes that it's in the presence of its Creator. It's that inner circle of communion where the soul vividly realizes the divine presence. That thought brings to mind one of my favorite old hymns. You probably know the song. It's called In the Garden. And if, as you think about those words, you can realize that the author that penned those words knew and had been to the secret place of the Most High. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Isn't that beautiful? The author of that song knew the secret place of the Most High. The psalmist also was very familiar with this place. Turn over just a couple of pages to Psalm 23. Probably another one of the best-known psalms that David penned. Psalm 23. This is probably one that most of you could say by heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now, this next line is something that is particularly relevant to us today, I think. He restores my soul. Do you ever wonder why we get so depleted? Why we get so discouraged and why we suffer defeat? It's because we haven't been to the secret place of the Most High and had our souls recharged. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You see, the presence of God is what defines the secret place of the Most High. And it doesn't matter where we are if God is with us. We can come into his presence and we can sense his presence and realize who he is, what he's done, what he can do, and all of the love that he has poured out for us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that song, that psalm, but there is more to this secret. Psalm 25, there's something else that God has promised, a secret of his that he has especially for us. Can you keep a secret? It's right over there in verse 14 of Psalm 25. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his what, everybody? He will show them his covenant. Now, what is God's covenant? I'll just make it very, very simple. It's all the plans that God has for you today, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, the next 10 years, the next 100 years, and on into the rest of eternity. God's covenant encompasses all of those things. This is what the psalmist meant when he said, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. Have you been to the secret place of the Most High lately? Has God told you his secrets? The psalmist says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Now you might say, now how does God share his secrets? Let's turn over to Genesis 22. We're going to look at a story there. Genesis 22. And I think what we will find as we examine the story of Abraham and Isaac, that secrets come to those who listen to God and who can recognize his voice. What we have happening here is a secret that's conveyed at nighttime. Isn't nighttime a good time for secrets? God comes to Abraham and he says, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham immediately recognizes the voice and he said, here I am. I'm right here. And God says, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your son that you love. And I want you to take him to a secret place, a place that I'm going to show you. And I want you to bind your son, and I want you to lay him on an altar, and I want you to take a knife, and I want you to sacrifice your son. Abraham knew the voice. It had spoken to him before. Some years before, it had come to him and said, "Abraham, Abraham, I've chosen you especially. I want you to go out to a land that afterward I will show you. I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. And through that nation, I will bless the entire world. In fact, I'm going to save the entire world from sin through you, Abraham." The Bible says that by faith, Abraham went out, not knowing whether he went. He knew that voice, and he heeded that voice. He was used to hearing it. So Abraham gets up. He's an old man, but he decides that he's going to keep this secret close. He's not going to share the secret just yet, not even with Sarah. So he calls his son Isaac, calls a couple of servants. He says, "Let's get some things ready for this trip, get some provisions, some things for the sacrifice." And off they go on a 3-day journey to the mountain of Moriah. And as they go, I can only imagine what's going through Abraham's mind. What's going to happen here? Why are we going to this place? And they arrive there at the base of the mountain, and Abraham says, "Okay, guys," to the servants, "you're going to stay here. God has a secret that he wants to tell me. And my son and I are going to go a little bit farther on." And so Isaac grabs that load of wood. He grabs the knife, puts the wood on his back, and they continue to walk up the mountain. And as they're walking up the mountain, Isaac stops and he looks at Abraham and he says, "Dad," he says, "you know, we got the wood here. I'm carrying that. I've got the knife here, but we're missing a sacrifice." And I can only again imagine how Abraham felt as his son, his beautiful son that he loved so much, asked him that question. But he couldn't share the secret yet. Not yet. Not yet. And so they proceed to the top of that mountain. They get there and they build an altar. And Abraham tells Isaac the secret. And he takes his only son, his son that is supposed to be the one that the promise is fulfilled through, and he binds him and he puts him on that altar. And he takes his knife and he raises it up and prepares to thrust it into the chest of his son. And all of a sudden he hears a voice from heaven say, "Abraham, Abraham, hold up, stop. I've got a secret I want to tell you. Abraham, I'm making my covenant with you. You see, I loved you enough, and I love the human race enough that I'm going to give my son to take all of the sins that anyone will ever commit. He is going to pay that price. He's going to bear them himself, Abraham. And somehow I wanted you to know what I had planned. I wanted you to understand the secret a bit more. I wanted you to know how I felt. And this was the only way I could help you to know how I felt about this thing. You think it is easy for me to send my son into Satan's dominion? I'm having to send him as a helpless baby. Satan's already tried to kill him once in heaven. I'm sending him back now where Satan has all the resources. As a babe to fight the battles of life, just like your son has to fight them, at the risk of failure and eternal loss. Somehow, Abraham, I just wanted you to feel what I feel. And I wanted you to appreciate what I'm doing." And there, shut in the presence of God, in the secret place of the Most High, God shared some other things with Abraham too. He said, "Abraham, this mountain that you're standing on, Mount Moriah, someday your descendants are going to build a temple here. And you know what's going to happen in that temple, Abraham? There are going to be daily services that happen every day. And you know what that message is going to be? Very simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And by the way, Abraham, over where you see that ram in the thicket, right over there, just outside a city that your descendants will build, a city that will be called by my name, my son is going to be put on a cross. And there on that cross, he is going to pay the debt for all of humanity. How do you think Abraham felt sharing the secret of God? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "Danny, aren't you making some of this up? I don't remember reading this in Scripture. I'll tell you how I know. I looked a little bit further on in this book, and there's something I want to show you. Turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Here we find Jesus talking to the descendants of Abraham. John chapter 8, we're going to pick up the story in verse 37. I know, this is Jesus talking, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus is saying here, if Abraham were your father, you would know the secret of God. You would know what his covenant is. He placed this house here, this temple, to be a symbol of his covenant. He entrusted you with the secret, and you don't even know. You don't even know the secret. Here I am, his son, ready to pay the debt for the sins of the world, and here you are planning to kill me. The best they can come up with? Ha, we're Abraham's seed, and we don't even know who you are. But I want to show you something in verse 56. Some of you may have to turn the page. Look at verse 56. Listen to what Jesus says here. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was what, everybody? He was glad. Jesus is saying, Abraham went to the secret place of the Most High. Abraham knew what the secret of God was. God is wonderful to share with us his secrets, isn't he? The secret of the Lord. You know, as you look through the Bible, you find God sharing these secrets so beautifully. I want to look at another passage. We're still here in John, that I want to show you that how God shares secrets with people who will bother to go to the secret place of the Most High. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This is the story of Jesus calling the disciple Philip, and the disciple Philip going to find his brother Nathanael. We're going to pick up the story in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. What an impact this had on Nathanael. You see, under the fig tree was where he went for privacy. It was where he would go to pray for the sins of Israel, asking for the Lord to reveal his salvation. God had talked with him there and communicated with him there. Nobody else knew about this special place. And when Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree, Nathanael knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. He recognized in that voice the one who spoke the secrets to him in that secret place of the Most High. Note Nathanael's response in verse 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than this. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, what is Jesus saying here to Nathanael? He's recalling to his mind, because he knows Nathanael is a student of Scripture, the story that comes out of Genesis where Jacob, who has just deceived his family and who is running for his life, is feeling so disconnected from God, he falls down in the middle of the wilderness, falls asleep with a stone for a pillow. And there God decides to reestablish his covenant with Jacob. And he comes to him in a dream. And in that dream, Jacob sees a ladder that goes from right at the spot where he's at up to heaven. And he sees these angels going up and down this ladder from earth to heaven. Jesus is saying to Nathanael, Nathanael, I'm the ladder. I'm the ladder. I am the bridge by which you can go to heaven. And until you're taken home, the angels are assigned to be ministers to you, ministers to those who go to the secret place of the Most High. Every time they enter that secret place, angels are ascending and descending, attending to our needs from the resources of heaven. What a secret place God invites us to today. Have you ever been there? Ever been to the secret place of the Most High? You say, where is it? It's in the presence of God. It's that time when we come into the presence of God and we're shut in with Him and the world is shut out from us. And what a blessed, precious experience it is. And the circumstances around you have absolutely nothing to do with it. One more passage we have to look at. It's a moving story from the sixth chapter of Acts. Sixth chapter of Acts. This is the story of the Apostle Stephen. We're going to pick up the story in verse 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. So here we see Stephen in the midst of a tumult, in the midst of almost a riot, and the people lay hold on him, and they drag him in front of the court. But rather than looking like someone who's downcast and not sure of exactly what's going to happen to him, note Stephen and how his presence is in front of the council. Verse 15. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Stephen was spending a lot of time in the secret place of the Most High. And he took the secret place of the Most High right into that trial room with him. And the people looking on his face recognized where he was. I like that, don't you? Then he started to preach. Chapter 7 is a beautiful sermon. I want you to note one verse with me. It's verse 25. Chapter 7, verse 25. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. Stephen is saying Moses was sent to deliver, but the Israelites didn't understand. Jesus came to save, but his people did not understand. But he wants them to come into his presence in order that he might reveal his secrets to them. What he's going to do, where things stand in history, what he has planned for them. But the people didn't understand. And the very ones that the Lord had sent his son to stopped their ears and they decided to put him to death. Stephen finishes up his sermon. And note the response to the sermon. Note what they did. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And as the events of earth begin to swirl uncontrollably around Stephen and overtake him, Stephen moves farther into that secret place of the Most High for more strength in his final earthly moments. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. You see, when you fall asleep in the secret place of the Most High, you will awaken in the secret place of the Most High. You will awaken in the presence of the Lord. I think the question that is being asked of us today is this: is the secret place of the Most High a familiar place to you and to me? Can you recognize God's voice amongst the many competing voices that this world has? Do you have a secret place where you go to commune daily with God, to listen to him, and to understand his plans for your life? Maybe you've been to that secret place, but it's been so long that you've forgotten how that close, sweet communion feels with God, how it feeds your soul and gives you strength for life's trials. Maybe God is calling you today to commit to meet him often in that secret place. And I want to ask something bold of you right now. If you feel that the Lord is touching your heart right now, and he's saying to you, "I want you to meet me in that secret place so that we can commune and you can come into my presence," I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand up, and I want you to raise your hand. And I want God to be able to see that, and I want everyone around you to be able to see that, so that you're committing to God and you're saying, "I'm going to come to that secret place. I'm going to come and I'm going to commune with you, Lord, and I'm going to find out what the plans are that you have for me and for my life." Let's pray. Father in heaven, you see every person that's standing here. You see every hand that is raised. And Lord, we thank you that as sinful human beings, that you want us to come into your presence. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son that allows us to even be able to do that, Lord. And we're here today, and we're committing to you that we are going to meet you in that secret place of the Most High. Give us strength to honor and keep that commitment, Lord, is our prayer in your Son's powerful name. Amen.